Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jen A. I am here in Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and thank you, God, for saving a girl like me. Just make sure that we have the lines muted, if we can, whoever does in the dashboard. All right, today is Wednesday, March 19th, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter titled Into Action on page 84. We're reading from the second paragraph, beginning with, this thought brings us to step 10, through one paragraph ending with, love and tolerance is our code. We're going to comment on that one paragraph only. So today's readers are Team Wednesday. Let me tell you who I have. 12 Steps, Charlotte W., 12 Traditions, Karen W. Our reader of the text is Jessica C. Closing reader is Vanessa C., and back up this morning is Lynn S. Our newcomer greeter is Bonnie B. And the second hour moderator will be Colleen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, if you're interested in jotting them down, for Tuesday, March 18th, 2025, are the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have 22,262. That's 22,262. And then for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, we have 22,264. That's 22,264. All right. So Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine, and we take no position on the outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. That's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Sharla W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Sharla.
Good morning, and God bless each and every one of you. I'm so grateful to be here this morning. The 12 steps. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service.
Thanks for being a part of Team Wednesday, Sharla. Appreciate you. All right, up next, let's see. Lynn, you want to take over for the 12 traditions?
Sure, Jen, thanks.
Thank you. The 12 traditions.
One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks so much, Lynn. Well, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read, so we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us personally. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study in the chapter Into Action in the Big Book on page 84. We are on the second paragraph. This thought brings us to step 10. Through that one whole paragraph, and I will now ask Ms. Jessica C. to begin reading. Go ahead, Jessica.
Hi, Jen. Jessica C., recovered compulsive eater. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set wrong. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. I'm just really honored to read this morning, because step 10 really has been a vital part of my recovery. This idea that the personal inventory, following that inventory in step 9, that it's not a one and done, that these steps support my ongoing spiritual growth, because one and done's, they just never worked for me. You know, diets obviously never worked for me. I remember so many times getting really excited about a new, self-help program, a new diet, and that momentum just, I couldn't sustain it on my own. But this step 10 process, I find it so helpful because I will continue to make mistakes. I need a discipline that I can use on a regular basis to set right, wrongs that I will continue to make. And I find step 10 is really helpful because, this process really keeps me connected to a community of like-minded fellows who are on the spiritual path with me. I'm not a great small talker. But when I have a 10th step to share, or when, another fellow shares with me a real life disturbance, that they are going through, you know, we can take it through the 10-step process. And, you know, when we uncover these defects, selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, and fear, we uncover where they're at play, and we meditate on where God would have us be. I have so much to say about that, you know. And I find this process is so durable. You know, 10 steps work on small issues, the big ones. For me, you know, like rigorous 10 steps have really led to a lot of removal of fear. And I lived in so much fear, especially around my job for so long. And that really has diminished so much. And I just want to emphasize, like, 10 steps, they're not about behavior modification. You know, that also never worked for me. I find this process, it's a practical way to take a disturbance through the steps and really get to where God would want me to be, which is to trust in the moment that I'm being taken care of, and that love and tolerance is my code. I find the 10-step process, it just helps me make that internal pivot where, you know, and if I'm in self-will, you know, I might want to be stingy with helping other people, or I may be intolerant of them. And instead, I can, you know, with God's help, make that internal pivot so that I am loving and useful. And I think that's all I have. So I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Jessica C., from kicking us off this morning. Jessica, tell us where you're calling from if folks want to find you on the list today.
I'm calling from Ontario, Canada.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Appreciate you. All right. So we do value everyone who's here today on the line, and we ask that you limit your share to every third day. Y'all can keep track of when that was so that others can share their experience too. So just remember, share the air. I'll now take a lineup of first name and then the first initial of your last name. Go right ahead.
Hello, Katie from Boston.
Rivka
R. Carol A. Catherine A.
Nancy P.
Nancy P. Katie.
Rivka R.
Nadia E.
Catherine A.
Leia F.
I've got
Leia
A. Thank you.
You get Nancy.
All right.
Carol A.
Honey B.
I'm just writing
okay.
Names down. Hold on just a second. I just keep writing. Otherwise, if I
Did
say
you get
anything,
Nancy
it'll
G?
Just all go. Okay, ready? This is who I have. I have Harlan G. I have Katie, Rivka, Nancy P, Leia S, Carol, Tony, Rachel K. Did I miss anybody who said their name once already?
Nadia E.
Nadia. Is it Nadia E?
It is.
Yeah.
And then there was one other person underneath, yeah.
Catherine.
Catherine. Oh, there's one more person. Hold on. Catherine. And then who is the last one?
Me. From Tennessee.
Oh. Hey, Nick. I think that's Nick, right? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, girl. Hey, I heard you. At the bottom, but not at the bottom. Okay. Here we go, people. This is a lot of people. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Here we go. Harlan, Katie, Rivka, Nancy, Leia, Carol, Tony, Rachel, Nadia, Catherine, and Nick. We're all going to hear about this awesome paragraph. Harlan, I'm setting my timer. Go right ahead.
Thanks very much, Jen. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. In 10, we're going to continue. In 11, we're going to improve. And in 12, we're going to practice. But let's blow in the 3 minutes we have some of the myths of step 10 out of the water as best we can. 4 times in this paragraph, we're going to see the word continue. And one of the things that's stop their program. Very, very sad. Let's clear up misconception number one. A lot of people think you start step 10 after you've done step 9. Absolutely incorrect. It says very clearly, we vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Not after, but as. We work the steps in order, but we work them together. Remember, remember that on the previous page 83 in step 9, we have references to step 11 and step 10 in 9. We're going to have reference to step 12 in 10 that tells us we work the steps together. And one of the other things I hear all the time are people calling me to do a step 10, and what they're really doing is the nighttime portion of step 11, and those are completely separate things. Let's take a look at what we have here. We have entered the world of the spirit, which means to me that I am finally becoming the person that God intended me to be. Now let's take a look here. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Remember that the purpose of step 10 is a daily spot check inventory that I can take whenever I am in fear, whenever I am in anger, whenever I'm disturbed. I do a step 10. It's an as-needed prescription. It's not something I do just in the morning or just at night. That's step 11. Step 10 is done throughout the day. That's why the nighttime portion of step 11 is first. It's assumed I've been doing 10s all day. What step did I use to do to deal with selfish, dishonest, resentment, and fear? Step 4. When these crop up, not if, when, we ask God at once to remove them, reminiscent of steps 6 and 7. We discuss them with someone immediately, not at night or in the morning, but immediately, step 5, and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone, steps 8 and 9. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help, step 12. I dare anybody to do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 12, 4, 5, 6 times a day, and eat Chips Ahoy cookies. You just can't do it, because this is going to put me in a place of complete neutrality. This is something that is a spot check inventory anytime I'm disturbed, at any time of the day. It is not something that I write and send. It is something that I discuss. I can rest assured that this process will work, and it works beautifully, and it keeps me out of the food effectively when I do them. When I put them off, now I'm going to get some food thoughts. Now I'm going to have some problems. When I do them,
All right.
Jen, thank you very much for your service. Have a great day. Thanks, Jen. Bye-bye.
You're so welcome. I'm always so impressed. So thank you, Harlan. People can listen to the recording. All right, Katie G., you're up from Boston. Good morning to you. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jen. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., recovered in Boston. You know, why am I doing this? Because I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And if I am not willing to do a step 10 spot check inventory, eating is going to be a step up. Right, because that negativity is going to build up. And I love words. It says we vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. So that requires a lot of mental effort. I can't stay in the world of the spirit by resting on my laurels. And I love that it says I have a code, love and tolerance of others is my code. I can't love and tolerate others if I'm judging people. And I just want to give some examples. I love step 10. It has saved my life, and it is a walking around step. So yesterday I found myself snot-nosed, messy crying. Why? Because I was terrified. I'm terrified of something going on in my life. I'm starting to pursue a career outside of my home. I was resentful. I was disturbed. And what does that do? It pulls me away from God. Like, here I am trying to be a channel for God, right, saying, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say, and to whom? And yet I'm driving my car, gripping my steering wheel, and not breathing. So what did I do? I asked God at once to remove it, and I called a friend of mine who thanks me to God for her. We do step 10 work together, and I looked at, where am I selfish? I want to be comfortable all the time. I don't want to step out of my comfort zone. I don't want to do what I want to do. My self-seeking behavior, I'm pissy, I'm judging, I'm character assassinating, I'm telling myself I'm a victim. The lie is I'm a victim and I have no choice. The truth is I do. The truth is this is exciting and I can discover where God would have me be. And my fear is failure, falling flat on my face. And then I can ask myself, okay, Katie, if you don't have the fear of failure, who's God going to have you be, right? And so then I can move back into the world of the spirit. you know, this morning I talked to someone and she doesn't believe in the big book and to talk about her problem. She was having a terrible problem with her sponsor and she wanted to get me to point out how stupid her sponsor was, not stupid, but how wrong her sponsor was. And thanks be to God, I didn't have to react to her. I could listen to her. I could ask God at once to remove my judgment from her. And I could say to her, you know, I could lovingly suggest, have you done a spot check inventory? And then for me, not get into judgmentalism and gossip, because that's what I want to do. I think that this step is amazing and it has saved my life, but it doesn't have to be for everyone. So I continue to watch. I'm so grateful for this step, and it saved my life and keeps me connected to God, which is what the deal is about. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Perfect timing. Thanks, KDG from Boston. Up next, we have Rivka. Rivka, I think you're calling from Baltimore.
Hi, good morning.
Is that right?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Jen, for your service and everyone for your powerful share so far. Whoa. Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. So I've heard that when a plane is flying to a destination and it's on autopilot, that, you know, the system, like, constantly course corrects. You know, plane goes a little to the right here, a little to the left there, whatever. You know, it keeps the plane flying straight toward its destination. And what keeps me on this road of happy destiny is this step, because if I'm not course correcting, you know, a little selfishness here, a little dishonesty there, a little resentment here, a little fear there, like, the road instantly stops being a happy journey. I will say that my need to do 10 steps has greatly reduced now that I'm not living in a state of resentment and blame all the time like I used to be. And maybe also because, you know, my kids grew up and I'm not in the working world, but there are different times that, you know, I need to course correct. And, you know, and I want to shout out to whoever said that selfishness is that someone isn't following my script. I mean, that's just a perfect definition. And sometimes all I need to say is, oh boy, that person certainly isn't following my script. And that bubble of ego gets popped and like my vision course corrects. And often, you know, fear isn't connected with the resentment, but for me anymore, but there are certainly lies that I'm telling myself that's under the fear. And I love that I can ask God to take that fear away and show me how he would have me be. And, like, instantly, like, I can course correct and, you know, and rebalance. You know, this step shows me exactly how I can take full responsibility for what's going on in me. And that's how we can fully show up. Like, otherwise, I'm just showing up for my egotism. I heard something on the meeting yesterday that really made me stop and reflect, and that was that God's delighted I showed up today. Like, whoa. Like, when I show up, he can show up, and it's with an energy of delight. I mean, I used to think that, like, food was the only delight in the world. But, you know, now I I don't believe, I say he, I don't believe that God is a particular man or a deity that I can conceive of in my finite brain, but I do believe that everything is made up of this unfathomable, connecting, infinite energy that wants a relationship with me and is guiding me and loving me and sustaining me every second. So I don't only use the word, you know, God and he as an easy reference to this energy, but the thought that I can actually reveal this delighted energy now that I can show up to life instead of, you know, used to hope that it just would all be over and that I could get to the end of my life and, like, say, okay, I'm okay. Like, that's all I wanted. You know, like, it's just a different, completely different way to live. And what stops me from showing up is really just this, the selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, because that's the energy of disconnection. And that's totally out of alignment with my soul, which I believe is the energy of joy and delight and connection. So grateful I can course correct and get back into the light and the delight today. And I bless everyone with a lightful and a delightful day. And I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Rivka R. from Maryland. Up next, we have Nancy P. Nancy?
Hey, Jen. Good morning. Yeah, thanks. Uh-huh. Good morning. Nancy P. recovered in Massachusetts, West Newton, Massachusetts, although right now I'm in Kenmore Square in Boston on my way to work. And, yes, this paragraph is one of my favorites in the whole book because, you know, when I first put the food down for the final time, a little over 7 years ago. And I got through the steps, you know, I don't know, a couple months, 8 or 10 weeks with my sponsor. I did a lot of, can I do a 10th step? Not a lot, but I did some. And I very quickly, as my recovery progressed, I very quickly stopped calling people about 10th steps. But I did not stop calling people. And, you know, what it says is, you know, this thought brings us to step 10. My sponsor said, what thought is that? All the promises from step 9. And it's true. It's a walking around step, and we work them all simultaneously. But for the first time, I had to wait before I was going to do this stuff. When I was first recovering, I had to go through the steps in order. And then in step 10, 1 through 9, wash, rinse, and repeat. That's what I was told. And what I've heard many times on this line as well. And so it says our next function is to grow, where in understanding and effectiveness. And that, you know, brings up the, you know, what others have said about, you know, we do step 4, we do step 5, we do step 6 and 7. You know, we do them sort of all like in a blender as needed, you know, all of them, all the time. But what I don't see, I tell my sponsees this, and myself, like this, no talking to anybody about my problems involved in this. The time when I talk to people is if and only if I've hurt somebody. You know, because I live this life all the time, you know, every minute of every day, it's always, really, it's not in the back of my mind, it's in the front of my mind, and everything else is behind it. My whole life is thoughts of, you know, where am I in the world today, and how am I affecting other people, and how am I being affected by other people? That's in the front of my mind. It's not like a, you know, paralyzing thing. It's just a thread that I'm always aware of. And so if I've done something wrong, or if I feel the slightest hint of an idea, of a gleam in a month, that I'm going to be in a place or do something that's uncomfortable, what I call mental disquiet, I pick up the phone so fast it's smoking hot. And how do I ensure that I will remember to do that? By doing it all the time. You know, I'm always on the phone, like especially in the beginning, if I wasn't working, sleeping, or actively with my family in the car or at the dinner table, I was on the phone on my way to the train, on my way home, in the grocery store. I mean, my husband used to call it being plugged in. You know, nobody could talk to me. I mean, they could, but they had to, like, tap me on the shoulder, you know, and I'd take my headset off. But you know, I still rely on that. I mean, my greatest weapon as an agnostic is fellowshipping with other people. And this step is the first place. I mean, you know, it says elsewhere in the book, you know, we can concentrate on being helpful to other people. There's nothing before being helpful to other people. And I'll just wrap up, Jen, and say that, you know, I already know what I've done if I've done something wrong. And what do I do then? What it says. I turn my attention resolutely to someone I can help. Resolutely meaning with focus and determination. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nancy P. from Mass. Okay, up next we have Leah S., followed by Carol. Leah, will you tell me where you're calling from this morning, please?
I'm going to pass. I can't share now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Leah. Appreciate it. Okay, Carol, are you ready to share? I have Carol followed by Tony. Carol followed by Tony.
I have a feeling maybe it was Cheryl. Would that be possible?
Oh, Cheryl. Yeah, that could be cool. Hey, Cheryl.
Okay, because I was trying to get in there. Maybe it was me. Hi, this
it is.
Okay.
Hi, Cheryl. Go ahead.
Hi. This is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. So much of the step 10s that I've had to do overtly because I've made a mistake and was selfish or dishonest or resenting is typically something that happens inside of me. Selfishness and dishonesty, I'm not often dishonest, but I can be very subtly dishonest by being in denial. When these things crop up and it comes out, even the resentment, I guess, when it comes out because I yell at my kids or my husband or I'm impatient, it at this point is almost 100% coming out in relationship to those primary people, my husband and my children. And I am very quick to admit, I'm very quick to make amends, I'm very quick. But there are many other ways that I have to be so careful when these things come up in much more subtle ways. And sometimes it's not in our book, and I know it's very important to stick to the exact words of it, but sometimes I say to myself, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly shifted it. Because, you know, other people have spoken about these subtle shifts, pivots that have to happen. And a lot of what has to happen is also the way that I live inside myself, because I have to catch every one of those thoughts and parts of me that completely and totally sabotage me. Because it's not just for me at this point, the way that I outwardly behave towards others, it's the way that I inwardly think about myself. Because so many of us, people live their whole lives and never live because of the sabotaging thoughts, the negativity. When I am in a negative state and it is not grounded in some crisis that is causing it around me, I've got to catch it so fast, because that will set in motion a series of thinking patterns and behavior patterns and eventually my actions that will either cause me to do something or prevent me from doing something that is God's work for me to do. I don't want to live that way anymore. The continue, it's continue, ongoing, and it's multiple times a day, and sometimes it's multiple times an hour, and sometimes multiple times a minute, because I don't want to live the Cheryl that is driven by fear, insecurity, all of my character defects. It's the work of 4 through 9 and 10 through 12, but there's so much of 6 and 7 in there for me. Because I just don't always realize when my character defects are running the show. So when I am aware, I have to promptly admit it, shift it, take a different action. And thank you, God, I don't have to contemplate my navel around it anymore. I have to go. Why? Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Cheryl A. from Massachusetts. Up next, we have Tony B. from, I think it's Ireland, is that correct? Or Scotland? How did I say that?
Thank you, Jen. My name's Tony B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. This is a wonderful paragraph and very clear-cut directions here. This thought, I would say, work for them is this thought. Just the bit before, they'll always materialize if we work for them. So let's talk about what that work means once we've got to beginning making our amends. What was I going to say here? Yeah. Yeah, effectiveness. I wanted to talk about effectiveness and how ineffective I become when I allow myself to get into self-pity and resentment and fear and selfishness. And I've got an example. Yesterday, I went down to the chemist, and it is always a tricky thing for me somehow, dealing with people in shops and in the chemist, and I wanted more of my Nicorette spray because I've been stopping smoking for quite some time, and I'd reached the end of the line with them prescribing it, and I was not happy. I had not taken God in there with me, and I needed to do a 10th step. And as soon as, I was just basically passive aggressive towards him and said, oh, that's very helpful, and got on my high horse. But when I got home, I had a sponsee call, and I knew that, I was going straight into a sponsee call. And before we started that call, I said to her that I would like to share a step 10 with her. I don't have a problem with that. I think that it's really good to demonstrate, to model, you know, what we do. And for me, that was the first thing I needed to do, to talk about that with somebody. And I do think this talking about it with someone is really important, to bring someone else in. And then I sort of thought maybe I don't need amends, but I came to realize that I did need to make amends. So this morning I was down in there and I apologized to the chemist face to face, and he was very gratified. He was very pleased. And he gave me some more advice about where to go next if I want to keep using this spray. But there's, you know, bringing someone else in for me is incredibly important, and doing it as soon as I can, and then turning my thoughts to someone I can help. And I sort of thought to myself, you know, well, I'm working with my sponsee, but no, it, for me it needs to be something separate, another outreach call to another fellow, to talk and ask, how are you today? And it builds community. It builds, thank you. I'll leave it there. Thanks for letting me share. Bye now. Love you all.
Oh, thanks so much, Tony B from Scotland. All right, let me tell you where we're at. I still have four more people in the lineup, but I just want to give everybody an opportunity to catch up. If you just got on today, we're on page 84 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the second paragraph. This thought brings us to step 10 through one paragraph ending in love and tolerance is our code. And we're going to comment on that one paragraph. So up next, I have Rachel K. followed by Nadia. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hi, thank you, Jen. You have done an amazing job herding the cats this morning. This is Rachel K., compulsive overeater, recovered in Indiana. And yeah, I was going to say that Harlan took my thunder about talking about the four times Bill says continue, but then I thought, that doesn't sound very humble. I'm not supposed to be bringing the thunder. So I'll just tell you my experience with this step. I was in this program. I was in the OA rooms for 15 years before I got abstinent, and people always say, well, what changed? And I really don't know. I mean, I know I worked the steps 1 through 12 in the Big Book. That was essential. But one thing that I did do is that I'd never done before in those 15 years are daily written 10 steps. And for me, I totally am a big proponent of doing them on the spot, but when I can, of handwriting them for me, and I know it doesn't instruct us to handwrite them, but for me, handwriting them when I can, and I can always, is essential. You know, not typing them on my phone or typing them on my keyboard. There's something about handwriting them that brings me closer to God. And this continue, like doing it daily, because I was not first in line to speak. I actually got to look up this quote and who said it. So George Santayana said, repetition is the only form of permanence that nature can achieve. So repetition, like I have to do this every day. If I want permanent recovery, which I desperately, desperately do, because I am a low bottom compulsive overeater, this means I have to continue this for a lifetime. Like Bill says, it's, you know, continues for a lifetime. And that seems kind of overwhelming, right? Like, oh my God, you know, till I die. But I only have to do it one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, one resentment at a time, one fear at a time. You know, I'm not doing them all at once. I'm doing this, you know, whatever is affecting me right now, because the rest is up to God. And that's the way God lifts it and changes my heart. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. Thanks, everybody doing service, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Rachel K. from Indiana. All right, up next we have Nadia, followed by Catherine. Nadia, where are you calling from this morning?
Good morning, family. It's Nadia E. from Toronto, Canada. And this is it's a long paragraph. I can't believe we read the whole thing. Step 10. So yeah, I do it daily and I do it all day long. I have to. Also the word vigorous stands out for me. And so I have been abstinent for 30 years. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry. That's my dog. Oh boy. Bear with me. So yeah, I've been abstinent for about over 30 years, but the food abstinence, that's not what it's all about. It's me being at peace with myself, me being at peace with others. And my wonderful sponsor is reinforcing, you know, like you do your work. And so whenever I do my work, I do my step 10, I ask myself the questions in the big book that, you know, am I resentful? Am I fearful? And that's my barometer. Okay. So if I answer yes to any of those, bang, boom, got to do it. Got to do my step 10 turnaround. And I have to immediately share it live, as my sponsor says, share it live with someone. And that's what I did yesterday. And then I turn my attention to someone I can help. And the process continues, it goes on. And my recovery deepens and my connection with my higher power deepens. And so that's where I'm at, you know, like again, and I am human to the ninth degree. So I think sometimes, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm not resentful. I'm not whatever. But you know what? If I'm honest with myself and I just shut up and get quiet and get to the low, like how am I truly feeling? And that's another thing is that my sponsor is asking me to call her daily, just like a check-in. And that really makes me connect with myself and connect with my higher power. And then I can share my recovery with my sponsees and encourage them to share the message. And I'm so grateful for all of you. And I'm so looking forward to meeting, to seeing you all in November. Love you. Have a great day with your higher power. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Nadia E. from Toronto, Canada. All right. So up next, we have Catherine, followed by Nick. Good morning, Catherine. Tell me the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Catherine A. from Ontario, Canada. I think that there were a few things that really stood out to me with Step 10 that I wanted to share. You know, Step 10's been so important to me in my recovery, really doing that steps for 4 through 9 every day has just really hammered home the importance of all of those steps and helped me grow and continue in my recovery. And I think one of the things that I'm especially hearing on the line this morning is there are so many different ways of doing Step 10 and so many different ways of doing it in line with the instructions that we receive in the big book, which I find really exciting. You know, I think sometimes I can get caught up in, you know, this person says you can only do it this way and another person says you can only do it this other way. And to me, it really helps to look at, well, it's working for everybody. It seems like the only wrong way to do this is not doing it. And so I keep coming back to that because sometimes I do need to call somebody. Sometimes I do need to write it out by hand. Sometimes I do need to, I need to go really in depth, and sometimes I can just do a little prayer and say, you know, God, please remove this, and then turn my attention to somebody I can help, and it goes away. You know, having all of these different options in my toolkit really helps me on a day-to-day basis. And you know, I think the only other thing I really wanted to mention, because it might be somebody else's experience too, is first recovered, I was constantly experiencing lots of new emotions that I'd never had to experience before because I had always numbed them out with food. And I started trying to use 10 steps instead of food to numb out these emotions because I didn't want to experience things like discomfort or things like sadness or grief. And if I look at this paragraph, what it says is watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. It's asking God to remove my character defects, not remove my emotions. I'm human, and I'm allowed to feel things like sadness. I don't
need a 10th step to fix those feelings. I often need a 10th step to help me remember that I need to sit with those feelings and feel them and really be human. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Catherine A. from Ontario, Canada. All right, we're going to take Nick, and then we'll take another list of names after Nick. Good morning.
Good morning, family. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee named Nick F. You know, perseverance, that's the principle behind this step. And, of course, to continue to keep going to do it no matter what, no matter what kind of day I've had, good or bad, I get to do this. I'm going to go ahead and be honest. I was doing a nightly inventory, and about maybe a year and a half ago, I was thinking, okay, in the morning I'm waking up and I'm giving my 10th step to my sponsor. But let me tell you what happened. As I was doing that every night and waking up calling her every morning, I went from not being able to fix my meals, you know, an entire day, to being able to lock in to God, lock in with this other person, to where I was able to prepare and prep my meals for an entire week. And then I would make sure that I did some body movement every single day. And then writing at night, and I would try to read just, you know, some biblical stuff at night. Was having a harder time with that than any of it, but and then I would wake up, and I knew I had this appointment at 6 a.m. To call my sponsor at the time and read what I had wrote. And I will tell you, there are times when I would just cry and pour my heart out, and I would look at the clock, and only 8 minutes had gone by. It didn't take all day for me to get censored and get uncovered. And I love what's being said about, like, there are so many ways to do this. And if I keep coming back, I will find the right way that works for me, the God way that'll work for me. I'm only 4 years here. This is brand new for me. Every Christmas feels like I've ever had Christmas the first time. Every 4th of July, and I see fireworks, it's as if I've seen fireworks for the first time. I'm a compulsive overeater who I will eat, and it will kill everything within inside of me. And I don't have to live that way today. So I get to put my hand in someone else's hand, and we get to put our hands in God, and God will show me the way. And so with that, I pass. Thank you for your service, Jen.
Hey, thanks, Nick. Thanks for sharing with us today. That's Nick F. from Tennessee. And now we're going to take another lineup of names. Before we do, let me tell everybody where we're at. We are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page number 84. We're on the second paragraph. This thought brings us to step 10 through one paragraph, ending in love and tolerance is our code. And we do ask that you share the air and only share every third day. So who would like to give their name?
Well, Nancy C.
Christina.
Nancy. Was it Christina? It was Christina. Were you in there?
It's Christina J.
Oh, thanks.
Anne Marie M.
Thanks, Anne Marie. All right, let's go with that. I'll see if I can get you in, Pete.
No worries.
Pete B. Okay, here we go. Nancy, Christina, Russ, Anne-Marie, and Pete B. Go ahead, Nance.
Hey, Jen. Good morning. Good morning, family. Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and what an amazing meeting. And how important step 10 is for me, and how I skimped on that the first time I got through the steps, that 10, 11, and 12 became things that were optional because I had done all the work already, right? And when I really look at step 10 today, it really is all step 1 through 9. It's not 4 through 9 for me, because as soon as I recognize something wrong in my behavior, I have to admit I'm powerless and that only God can help me, and I have to ask for his help and then go through the inventory process. But, you know, I like to think of this step as it keeps me on the rails. It's the tools that keep me moving forward. It is a continue. And I also get hung up in the ask God at once to help me. I used to think I needed to sit down and write out a whole 10th step and then go, oh, God, please help me. Now I know to immediately turn to God and turn that over. When I do written 10 steps, and I too believe that they're important because I need to look at what's happening in 6 and 7 and that I am totally powerless over changing my behavior. But when it comes up over and over again, I really need to get quiet with God and ask Him to please remove these defects of character and help me do it differently the next time. That's the beauty of the 10 step for me, is trying to change my behavior. Not just say I did something wrong, but really truly work the steps through, and then 11 and 12 keep that moving forward. This is a really critical step for me, and it is a continuum on a daily basis. And the other thing that I just want to say is, if I don't do this, you know, I'm abstinent from my old behavior a lot. I won't be abstinent for long, and pretty soon food will be a good step up for me if I don't work this program. So it helps me stay abstinent in my recovery so that I keep my channel open to God, and it keeps me open to be available to everyone who interacts with me in a loving, tolerant method. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks so much, Nancy C. from Michigan. Up next is Christina J., followed by Russ M.
Hi, Jen. Christina J. from North Carolina. Wow, great shares. And the thing that just came to me strong was, you know, living in the world of the spirit versus living in the world of Christina. You know, 65 years I lived in the world of Christina, and that door there is still cracked open. I can go in there anytime I want. I can sit around in fear, resentment, worry, anger, twisting my heart and gut at night as I worry about things. What a miserable place I lived in for so very long. I had no idea there was a way out. Dipped my toe into OA for years and didn't realize the gifts, the deep gifts of the program, until I got to Vision and started hearing the word recovery, started realizing what the steps were about, and took them and has had to take them over and over and over to really get the message through to, you know, that I can walk out of that world of me and into the other door, which is peace, serenity, being of service, not worried about how people are looking at me, not thinking I have to go out and validate myself anymore in the world, not pushing and shoving, not taking things personally, you know, all that stuff, not having to use food to calm myself down. And I didn't even know that's what I was doing. I just knew I had this thing that I wanted to eat. You know, and I felt like there was something wrong with me, of course, wrapped in and around and inside of that is shame and guilt and getting fat. Maybe if I didn't get fat, I'd keep eating. I mean, you know, I love food. That's the bottom line. I love to eat. And but I have wonderful, healthy, abstinent foods now that don't trigger my allergies. So this program allows me to say, hey, do I want to stay in this world of Christina that I've stepped into again with all my fears and everything? Or can I just sit down and do a 10 step? It's not wrong or right if I do it or not do it. For me, it's like, do I want to live in peace, you know, or do I want to live in hell? So it's my choice. There's nobody going to lay a guilt trip on me if I'm not doing it. And you're doing it wrong because you're not doing it. That's not the game for me. The game is doing it, and doing it because I need to do it. I don't want to live in those places anymore. They've become too painful. And as I've stayed in program through the years, I've had to experience those over and over and over, not only with emotions, but food. Do I want to keep eating the food that takes me back to hell, piled on top of my fear, resentment, envy, jealousy, all that crap? Is the food and the hell of the brain chemistry and the body trying to get through that again. So if you're out there and you're just coming in and you're struggling, take the steps, work the program, get to this 10 step, get to all those steps and use this thing daily. You know, I had to get up and do an 11th and 10th this morning. I had a lot of shit happen yesterday, but I'm free this morning now. You know, it'll come up again and I get to do it again. That's my steps, my tools, my steps. They keep me sane, and I'm so grateful I don't have to live in the world of Christina anymore. She was a wonderful person. She tried really hard. But the world of the spirit is where I can live in peace and serenity. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Christina J. in North Carolina. Up next, we have Russ M. Hey, Russ.
Good morning, Jen. Morning, family. Russ, I'm recovered compulsive overeater. You know, if we only needed 5 steps to get free, it'd be a 5-step program. And for me, I fight. Well, why do I have to do this? Or I'm not feeling this way. It's all baloney. I have to employ every one of these steps. The 10th is a combination of all these steps. And I'd be nowhere. I'd be pretty jacked up if I didn't have that valve, that safety valve, the 10th. But it's also not just like the, for me, to get that things go, and, you know, okay, I feel better, but how's it changing me? How's it expanding my spiritual life? How's it, like, changing behavior? How can I, which will never happen, you know, do 10, less 10 steps. Do more 10 steps to do less 10 steps, which is never going to happen, but you understand what I'm saying, that it spiritually changes us. You know, I could stay out of the food. I'm out of food for a while now, but yeah, I'm still a lunatic in some ways. I need the 10 step. I need to develop my and expand and enlarge my spiritual life. I got to work this out, and it saved my life. I'd be nowhere without the steps, because they bring me closer to God, and they protect me from me. So thank you for letting me share. Love you guys. Have a beautiful day.
Thanks, Russ. I'm from Philly. I appreciate you, and thanks for cutting it right on the money right there. So Anne Marie and Pete, I hope you all can share in the second hour, because that ends and concludes this portion of the program. Thanks to everybody who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study that's going to be immediately following this closing. So if you want to get the recording number, get your pen and paper out, because here's the share ID for today, Wednesday, March 19th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It was a pretty awesome meeting, and it was packed with a lot of great shares. So the number is 22,266. That's 22266. That's an easy one to remember, right? All right, we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Miss Vanessa C., will you take us out?
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G. in New Mexico, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.